stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, July 31st. A San Diego Park soccer program supporting refugees and immigrant youth. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Celebrations were had in Bay Park yesterday to mark the reopening of the Cerro Pueblo Apartments. Local housing developer RAD and the Catholic Charities Diocese are being credited with getting the senior housing complex upgraded and up to date. 46 units were preserved with new kitchens, bathrooms, and more, and can be filled by qualifying seniors age 62 and older. Those seniors will be able to pay anywhere from 30 to 60% of the area's adjusted median income, thus qualifying the units as affordable housing. Mayor Todd Gloria attended the event. The San Diego Humane Society has announced that starting tomorrow, August 1st, the organization will cut adoption fees in half for the entire month and waive all fees on August 23rd. The SDHS has nearly 1,900 animals in its care, 900 of which are available for immediate adoption. The Humane Society has locations in El Cajon, Escondido, Oceanside, and San Diego. Just like that, the rush that is Comic-Con has come and now gone, but for us locals, some of the fun lives on. If you're a classic at heart, then the Pac-Man Cafe that's still open might pique your interest. There's exclusive merch, sample food items, some free arcade games, and a Pac-Man-themed menu to feast on. But maybe your interests are a bit more vintage. Enter free exhibit The Vintage Animation Show, located at the exclusive Collections Gallery in the Gaslamp Quarter. It features more than 100 original cells, which were the sheets used for traditional hand-drawn animation. You can view original drawings from Disney, Warner Brothers, Hanna-Barbera, and more. And last but not least, there's always the Comic-Con Museum in Balboa Park. That's a great option as well. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated over four decades, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com, because we know how.
Officials have lifted the tsunami advisory for coastal San Diego County after minor waves hit the area Wednesday morning. Miguel Miller is a meteorologist with the National Weather Center in San Diego. He says waves first reached the Broadway Pier around 2:15 a.m. Wednesday.
And then it ramped up, and the highest one that we can see occurred at 5:40 a.m. And that one was reported as 0.24 of a meter, which is approximately 9.5 inches.
La Jolla saw waves of about 4.5 inches around 4:15 a.m. Wednesday. Larger waves hit Northern California at more than 3.5 feet near Crescent City. El Cajon's police chief recently decided his department would stop automatically responding to certain mental health crisis calls. For our latest Why It Matters segment, Voice of San Diego reporter Lisa Halverstadt explains why he made that decision and the reaction it's gotten.
In May, El Cajon police stopped automatically sending officers when someone threatens to harm themselves, as long as there's not an apparent crime or danger to others. This has sometimes meant mental health experts that contract with the county also didn't respond or couldn't get aid from police when they requested it. El Cajon police say they made this decision for legal reasons. A court ruling raised questions about whether officers could face personal lawsuits for encounters with unarmed people with mental illnesses if they use excessive force. So far, El Cajon is the only local police agency to make this change. The city also saw massive protests in 2016 after officers shot an unarmed African man who was having a mental health crisis. County officials and advocates are pushing back. They argue El Cajon's change presents safety issues for people in crisis and those trying to help them. The director of the Psychiatric Emergency Response Program says they saw a 33% drop in crisis calls in El Cajon over the past couple months, compared with the same period in 2024. They can't respond to calls without police. El Cajon City Manager Graham Mitchell says his city might consider changing the policy as it gets more data, and if it gets more resources from the county. I'm Lisa Halverstadt for Voice of San Diego, and that's why it matters.
The Donnelly Community Services Center, the Imperial Valley's oldest LGBTQ+ resource center, is in a state of turmoil. Three board members are accusing the center's CEO of trying to seize control of the organization's funds. Reporter Corey Suzuki is covering this, and he spoke with All Things Considered host Debbie Cruz about the matter.
Corey, what do we know about what's happening?
Well, Debbie, what we know is that earlier this month, three members of the Donnelly Center's nonprofit board voted to fire the organization's founder and longtime CEO, Rosa Diaz. Diaz has been a controversial figure recently because of an effort she led to rename the center and some statements she's made, particularly about the trans community. This month, three of her board members accused Diaz of removing all of the organization's funds, $700,000, from their bank accounts.
Do we have any more information about these allegations against Diaz?
Well, the three board members who voted to fire Diaz are Carmen Zamora, Edward Gain, and Shozo Hasegawa. Last week, they sent an email to Imperial County officials. The Donnelly Center does a lot of work with the county. And in their email, they said Diaz had locked them out of accessing all of the organization's funds and was still acting as though she was CEO, even though they had fired her earlier this month. These three board members say they made the decision to fire Diaz because of, quote, significant legal concerns. So far, they've refused to elaborate on what that means exactly publicly, citing ongoing legal proceedings. They declined my requests to answer questions on the record. Now, the board members did share with me what appear to be copies of police reports filed in El Centro, where the center is located. One of the reports accuses Diaz of committing check fraud. The other alleges that Diaz secretly recorded a conversation with an employee. I should say, a spokesperson for the El Centro Police Department has declined to verify whether or not these reports are authentic. So we don't know for sure, but it seems that law enforcement is also involved in this situation.
Okay, so what is Rosa Diaz saying about all this?
Well, Diaz is calling this a hostile takeover. I spoke with her over the phone, and Diaz says the decision to fire her happened without following the right protocols, and so she still considers herself a legal employee of the Donnelly Center. She also denies that she committed any kind of financial wrongdoing. Now, Diaz has declined to say whether she has taken possession of the organization's funds or to comment on where that money is.
So what is the background here? Can you explain why Rosa is a controversial figure?
Yeah, well, Diaz has been a longtime leader among the queer community in the Imperial Valley. In 2015, she founded the Donnelly Center, which was then known as the Imperial Valley LGBT Resource Center. For years, that was known as the Valley's only physical gathering place for the LGBTQ+ community. But earlier this year, Diaz came under fire for some of her decisions and statements. Again, she led this controversial rebranding effort that stripped the center of its previous name, removed the phrase LGBT Resource Center from the name. She openly criticized a new California law that's backed by trans rights groups that barred schools from sharing a student's gender identity without their permission with their parents. And she also opposed the recognition of Pride Month earlier this summer at an El Centro school board meeting. In March, KPBS also reported that Diaz had grown increasingly interested in the rhetoric of two organizations that spread false science about transgender people. Both are classified as hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center, a nonprofit that tracks extremism in the United States.
And what does this mean for the future of the Donnelly Center?
Well, the struggle over the Donnelly Center's finances comes at a delicate moment for the organization. A number of San Diego and Imperial Valley LGBTQ+ advocates have cut ties with the center after Diaz led that renaming effort earlier this year. LGBTQ+ groups nationwide are also facing this kind of downpour of executive orders. They investigate laws and court rulings under the second Trump administration. Other advocates in the Valley are watching this closely. I spoke with Clara Olivas, the executive director of another organization called Queer Casa. And Olivas said they hope the center will get the money back. They pointed out that the money doesn't belong to any one person, really that it belongs to the public and to the people the Donnelly Center was set up to serve.
Well, we will certainly keep an eye on all this in Imperial County. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Debbie.
That was South Bay and Imperial Valley reporter Corey Suzuki speaking with All Things Considered host Debbie Cruz. You might have a grocery store club card in your wallet, or maybe you clip coupons digitally online. Either way you shop, these tech advancements are leaving some people behind, especially seniors. Rancho Bernardo resident Bonnie Ann Dowd says she tries to use coupons frequently, but she says digital coupons can be especially difficult for older adults to access.
What the stores were doing is everything was electronic to be able to get the coupons. When you start looking at the two populations, you look at a population of us that are, as we're growing older and maybe have never used technology, we were being cut out.
Yesterday, Bonnie attended a town hall about a new San Diego law intended to tackle the digital divide. By October 1st, grocery stores in the city of San Diego will need to offer digital deals in store without requiring digital access. Soccer is played everywhere in San Diego and Tijuana, from Snapdragon Stadium and Estadio Caliente to neighborhood parks and streets. But accessing the sport can be a financial challenge. Reporter Jacob Ayer says in one San Diego park, a soccer program is supporting refugee and immigrant youth on and off the pitch.
At Colina del Sol Park in San Diego City Heights neighborhood, the beautiful game is bringing together young refugees and immigrants from all over the world multiple times a week.
The moment we started off here, it was already, soccer was taking off in City Heights in San Diego.
17-year-old Khalid Hassan came to the U.S. as a child.
Before this program, I didn't play in any soccer leagues, any soccer clubs, anything like that. This program actually taught me how to kick a ball.
On the basketball courts at the park, Hassan and other young boys and girls go over the fundamentals, train, and play a street style of soccer called futsal.
We do practices, and we also have games too. As of right now, on Saturdays, there's a futsal tournament for the girls.
18-year-old July Hua recently joined the team.
I've been playing soccer before I joined this program. I would come to the park down there, and I would just play. And then one day, I saw Miss Anna and her players just training, and then I asked if I could join her. And so ever since then, I've been playing with her.
The no-cost soccer clinics are part of the FC App program put on by a volunteer-run organization called Young and Prosperous. It's funded by grants and donations. Anna Diaz is director of sport for the organization.
We have youth all the way from fifth grade to seniors, and we help them with the basic fundamentals of soccer. As soon as they get to a certain level, then we start reaching out to clubs that are willing to sponsor these youth, and we make those connections with them.
Diaz has helped organize free youth soccer at the park for about a decade. She says the kids share their culture with one another and find ways to communicate despite language barriers.
Because of soccer, it was like a universal language where we were all talking.
In this part of the city, Diaz says there's a lack of access to organized soccer teams because of the cost. Young and Prosperous provides all the equipment the players need. It helps many of the kids in the program, like 19-year-old Bekalo Oredi.
If I needed soccer cleats, they helped me with that. If I needed shoes, new shoes for school, they helped me with that. They really helped me. They'd be huge part of my life.
Diaz says FC Yap offers a positive environment off the pitch too.
Soccer is just the hook. It's more of mentoring. We prep them for college.
That includes tutoring and making sure kids are on top of their grades. July's cousin, 18-year-old Venus Hua, says playing soccer also provides some relief.
During the fall season, I was really stressed out with college and applying and stuff. So it helped me mentally and physically, because it was just a little moment where I could just get away from school, work and stuff. So it's helped me a lot.
The program has played a role for some of the youth to achieve college scholarships. Khalid will be going to UC Riverside this fall on a full-ride academic scholarship. 19-year-old already has continued with soccer thanks to a scholarship at the Masters University.
And here I am playing college soccer, even though I didn't play high school. I just like continually working hard and listening to my coaches.
FC Yap is personal for Diaz. She remembers coming from Mexico as a child and not being able to afford soccer in her Southeast San Diego neighborhood.
I was in soccer as well. I also got sponsored. I also was helped a lot by people, you know, taking me, coming and going. And where I grew up, there wasn't a lot of sports, especially for girls. And if you do want to play, you had to pay. So I think it's kind of like a way of giving back.
She says kids like Oredi and Khalid are inspiring others in FC Yap.
Mostly about soccer, what it taught me was the discipline part. Keep showing up, while I kept showing up.
While soccer isn't for everyone, Oredi says now the organization has basketball and dance programs, giving more kids the same shot.
The amount of opportunity they have, like all these programs, it really helps like people that are not from here, and it actually like makes those people feel at home and welcomed.
Oredi and Khalid's success stories are bringing Diaz's story full circle. It's also bringing immigrant youth in City Heights together on a team that feels like a home away from home. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
That's it for today's podcast. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for supporting public media by listening, and have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated over 4 decades, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating, and air and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com, because we know how.